Well, welcome again to Wat Khao Tham, and welcome to this meditation retreat. In case we've missed any introductions, my name is Steve, and along with Rosemary, we'll be teaching the retreat. The purpose of this meditation retreat is to learn, practice, and develop some basic methods and techniques which can help each one of us throughout our life. The words mental development will be used frequently during these days. And in this usage, this means to develop our minds in beneficial ways and to lessen our minds of unbeneficial ways. All of the techniques that we will be explaining here are for this purpose, to develop our minds in beneficial ways. We could say that we are teaching meditation. We can also say that we're teaching mental development. And as we use these words, they mean very much a similar thing, to develop our minds in beneficial ways. Let us consider why anyone would want to do a meditation retreat such as this, or learn anything about mental development. For most, if not all of us here, there has come the understanding that there are some things in life which are not totally satisfying. Whether it be something physically minor like a headache or a small cut, whether it be something physically major like cancer or death, whether it's mentally minor like just being upset when the bus is late, or mentally major, like the grief that comes after the death of a loved one. Whether physical, whether mental, whether small, whether large, continually throughout our life we encounter situations which are not totally satisfying. And perhaps on occasion we've tried to ignore these things. But this is only a temporary measure. Perhaps other times we've tried to escape from these things. Whether it be alcohol, drugs, work, or whatever, once again, this is only a temporary measure. The roots of our difficulties are not eliminated in this way. If we can come to a deeper understanding of life as it actually is, not just what we think it is, not just what we think it should be, but if we can come to a deeper understanding of life as it actually is, and also come to a deeper understanding of how we react to life, then we will be in a better position to find deeper peace and happiness in our life. The methods and techniques that we will be explaining here can basically be used by anyone anywhere. A person of any race, any religion, man or woman, old or young, basically the methods and techniques that we will be explaining can be used by anyone anywhere. We are all very similar in many ways. We were born, we're now alive, one day we will die. From time to time we get injured, we get ill. We have to be with things that we don't like. We often get separated from things that we do like. And often we simply do not get what we want. In these ways we're all very similar, and these situations can be frustrating. They can be difficult to deal with. When a person breaks an arm, that's one type of difficulty some of you may have had, or a different broken bone, or it may be a difficulty you will have in the future. Having a broken arm, one type of physical problem that could happen to any of us. For many people with a broken arm, there is a second problem which also comes. And that is in the person's reaction to the broken arm. Some people react a lot. Oh, my arm, my arm, my arm. What can I do now? It's broken. Some people with a lot of agitation, fear, and worry. Other people perhaps with only a small amount. But this agitation, fear, and worry is a second problem the person creates themselves in their reaction to the broken arm. This is where meditation and mental development can help. It can help us to avoid those extra problems that we often cause in our reactions to life. There may be many different reasons why all of you are here. And among these reasons is that many of you would like to lessen those unsatisfactory aspects of your life. This wishing to lessen or remove difficulties and problems, this is what we will be referring to when we use the word compassion. Compassion is a basis of the meditation mental development practice. Without having compassion towards our difficulties, then basically there would not exist any desire to solve our difficulties. And there would be little or no desire to practice meditation or any type of mental development. A second reason why many of you may be here is that you would like to find deeper peace, deeper happiness, deeper contentment in your life. This wishing for deeper peace, contentment, and happiness, this is what we will be referring to when we use the word loving kindness. This word is used within this tradition to indicate a type of kindness which is deeper than normal everyday type kindness, and a type of love which is different from how we normally use the word love in English. Compassion and loving kindness are very closely related. Together they are a combined wish for the welfare of whomever they are wished towards. Compassion is a wishing that there was no problems, no difficulties, no unhappiness. And loving kindness is a wish for peace, contentment, and happiness. As this retreat is designed to help each one of you in these ways, much will be explained concerning the development of compassion and loving kindness. Compassion and loving kindness, though, are basically just thoughts in the mind. How do we put them into action? In order to solve any difficulty, any problem, it's important to be able to see the problem, when and where it exists. It's important to see, where does the problem come from? How does the problem go away? And most important, how do similar problems not come again in the future? In order to develop this type of understanding, it's important to use what we will be calling mindfulness or awareness. To be mindful, to be aware, to know what we are doing, to know what we are saying, to know what we are thinking. If we can be mindful and aware of our actions, our speech and our thoughts, then we will make less mistakes. We will cause less difficulties for ourselves and less difficulties for others. With mindfulness, we can get closer and closer to life's actual experiences and develop understanding of life. Then with this understanding, we can work towards solving any difficulty, any problem. The development of mindfulness and the understanding that can come with it can often be viewed to develop in four stages. For many of us, we may have a similar problem which recurs again and again and again. Let us take, for example, say we do not like a certain type of person or a certain type of situation. And then every time we encounter that type of person or situation, we react with aversion and we say or do something which merely causes more problem. As we develop our mind wisely, there may come a time when after one of these situations has occurred, we may start thinking about it. Oh, why did I act in that way again? I'm always doing that. I'm always reacting like that. This is often the first stage in developing mindfulness, coming after a situation has occurred and looking back at it. There can be a combined wish of compassion and loving kindness present. Compassion wishing that we not had caused more problems with our reaction, and the loving kindness side wishing that we could have more wisdom to react in a better way. Then perhaps we see a similar situation again and again, and after it's over, we reflect again and again about it, until at some point, our mindfulness may get a bit sharper and our understanding deepens concerning this type of situation. Then what may happen is that while we are in one of these situations, we become aware, oh, I'm in it again. Still while we're in it, instead of after thinking about it, while we're in it, we actually become aware, here I am, I'm in it again. Maybe we can change our reaction, maybe not. Later, as our mindfulness gets sharper, our understanding deepens more, we may find that we become aware just as the situation is beginning to arise. If we're aware in the very beginning of the situation, then maybe we can change our reaction to be better than before. Then later, when our mindfulness is very sharp, our understanding very deep, we will come to understand the causes and the conditions that bring about similar situations. Then if we can be mindful of the conditions arising before the situation even occurs, then we're in a very good position to use our wisdom and react in a good way. So in general, there's five aspects of the practice that work very closely together. First, we see difficulties, problems, something that's unsatisfactory. Then we have compassion arising towards it, wishing it was not there. Loving kindness may then arise, wishing for peace and happiness to be there instead of the unhappiness. Then with compassion, loving kindness as our thoughts, we go about using mindfulness as our tool, mindfulness or awareness. And with this awareness, we develop understanding. With the understanding, we then work towards solving any difficulty, any problem. In a similar way of working with our difficulties, problems, our unbeneficial aspects of ourselves, we can also work with our good, positive, beneficial aspects by becoming more mindful of them. Understanding where do they come from? How can they come more often? How can I make them stronger? So that every aspect of our life comes into this practice. With our beneficial qualities, we learn how to increase them. With our unbeneficial qualities, we learn how to decrease them. Hopefully, from the little that I've said so far tonight, all of you have more understanding of the value of developing mindfulness of our actions, speech, and thoughts, the value it can have in helping us find deeper peace and deeper happiness. The meditation practices, which stress using mindfulness greatly, are often referred to with an ancient Indian Pali word, vipassana. This word vipassana is generally translated into English with the word insight. We're trying to develop insight into ourselves. We could also say understanding or wisdom of ourselves, trying to develop insight into everything else as well. This is what is referred to when we use the words vipassana meditation. It's important to make a point here When I say the words Vipassana meditation, that I do not mean a specific technique. Rather, there are many, many different skillful techniques that can help us to develop Vipassana. The Vipassana, or the wisdom, that is an end result of using skillful techniques. I make this point here because as Theravadin Buddhism is very new in relative time periods in the West, the word Vipassana is not always being used in a proper way. But we're trying to develop insight into reality, insight into who and what we are, or wisdom or understanding of who and what we are, insight into who and what everything else is as well. This is what we call Vipassana, or insight meditation. As I mentioned with the broken arm, many of the difficulties that we have in our life come from our reactions to life. So by developing mindfulness of our reactions, this is a very important part of the practice. From every experience that we have, there will arise within us one of three different types of feelings. We might have a pleasant feeling, we might have an unpleasant feeling, or we might have a neutral feeling. It's not unpleasant, not pleasant. From the feelings comes our reactions. If our reaction is wise, with proper consideration, and with compassionate understanding, then normally we will not create any problems in our reactions. But if we lack wisdom, if we lack proper consideration, if we lack compassionate understanding, then often we will create problems in our reactions. With this in mind, it can be very helpful to consider that all of your reactions are due to your past conditioning, the way you grew up, your teachers, your friends, family. People in one country grow up in a different way to people in another country, even in the same country, different school systems, different foods, different climates, different religions, and so on. Many different causes and conditions have come about to produce who and what you are right here, right now. You think certain ways due to your past conditioning. You react certain ways due to your past conditioning. Some of your reactions are wise, some are not wise. Some are skillful, some are not skillful. Some are done with compassion and love, others are done with anger and hatred. Some will lead towards more peace and happiness. Others may lead towards more difficulties and problems. Each one of us here would like to have more peace and happiness in our life and less difficulties and problems. But it's not easy. As we've been conditioned to be who we are for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, it'll take time to change. Patience is needed. Compassion is needed, equanimity is needed, persistence is needed. Many different beneficial qualities need to be developed and strengthened. Try to keep in mind that practicing meditation and mental development is much like learning anything else in normal everyday life. Let's take the example of someone who wants to learn how to swim. On the first day of going to the swimming pool, can this person swim across the pool? No, not usually. There are methods and techniques that have to be learned, practiced, and developed. There is a basic order of progression. If a brand new swimmer is taught advanced swimming techniques like racing starts, racing turns, fine hand movement or kicking, if a brand new swimmer is taught these advanced techniques, then there's very little ability to understand these teachings. This will often confuse a new swimmer. It may slow them down. It could even stop them wanting to learn at all. But in general, some swimmers will learn quickly, some will learn slowly. And if each new swimmer who is physically able continues learning, practicing, developing, putting forth the effort and the energy, then each new swimmer will learn how to swim. Meditation is much the same. There are certain methods and techniques that need to be learned, practiced, and developed. There's a basic order of progression. If a brand new meditator is taught advanced meditation techniques, then normally there's no ability to understand these advanced teachings. This could cause a lot of confusion for the new meditator, slow them down, may even cause them to stop, not want to learn at all. But in general, some learn quickly, some learn slowly, and if each new meditator continues learning, practicing, developing, putting forth the effort and the energy, then each new meditator will develop their own meditation mental development practice. So what works in normal everyday life also works here as well. For many of you, this is something new. Try your best. Much of the information will be fairly easy to understand intellectually, but it's going to take some hard work to understand it on an experiential level. The results, the rewards of this hard work are very valuable, well worthwhile. It's important for you to keep an open mind. Much of what we say you will be able to understand and you will be able to follow along with it. But then there may be other parts that are not so easy to understand. That's okay. Try not to worry about it. There will be a lot of information given during these days, and it's not usually possible to understand all of it. Take what you do understand and work with that. As we all have different personalities with different conditioning, then we will all tend to work on different aspects of the practice at different times. Staying open is also very important in your relationships that you have with me, with Rosemary, and with the retreat in general. There is a little saying, you can please some of the people all the time, and you can please all of the people some of the time, but you cannot please all of the people all the time. Rosemary and I do not expect to be able to please all of you with every bit of the retreat. It's basically just not possible. And we would advise you not to expect to be pleased with every part of the retreat. Yet, we do encourage you that whenever you have any difficulties, talk to us about in the interviews or write us a note. There is a tendency in some people to go away from things they don't like. But often what we don't like is just something we don't understand. So if you do have any difficulties during the retreat, please be sure to talk to us about the interviews or write us a note. Try to stay open and try to stay honest with yourself and with the retreat. Staying open also means the willingness to change and adapt. And this includes the willingness to change our views and our opinions about things. I would think that each one of us here has had the occasion where we thought we knew something, then we learned different information, then we changed our view and our opinion. This is very normal. If we're not a perfect human being yet, then this will happen from time to time. Some people become so attached to their views and opinions that it will block them from learning and growing. This is very important here at the retreat. As I mentioned earlier today, all of you have agreed to practice just with the techniques that we will be explaining during these days. So if you have learned other techniques, be sure to put them aside during this time so that you can be more open to test our methods fully, so that you can give yourself 100% to testing these methods and see if they are beneficial for you or not. If you do use some other techniques while you're here, then it's possible it can create confusion for you, and you may be missing a very valuable opportunity. This is a rare and wonderful opportunity that each one of you have. It's a special gift that you have given to yourself. Take advantage of this special gift. Stay open, work hard, and beneficial results will come to you. There are 19 of our old students here in the hall tonight. They know that they received benefits from their earlier retreats, so they've come back hoping to receive more benefit. For those of you who are new, and for those of you who have come back, stay open, work hard, and beneficial results will come to you. If we can learn to let go of our views and opinions about life and open ourselves to the reality of life, then we will be in a better position to find deeper peace and happiness in our life. The words letting go is another term that will be used frequently during these days. And in this usage, the development of peace and happiness and the lessening of problems and difficulties, it is not so much of a going and getting something, but rather it's a letting go. It's a letting go of the various obstacles that are blocking this peace and happiness from naturally occurring. We all have the seeds within us for the growth of peace and happiness and the lessening of problems and difficulties. And if we apply proper methods, then these seeds will grow. Learning how to change some of our past unbeneficial conditioning can be difficult at times. But with compassion, with loving kindness, and with mindfulness, we can gradually change our conditioning, little by little and bit by bit. Mental development is a gradual process. Our habits and thought tendencies have very strong energies, and it's not always possible to change things all at once. Often when some people do try to change a past unbeneficial condition real quick, overnight, they create a bigger problem instead. Frequently, rather than trying to change our past conditioning too quickly, we can use the energy present and learn how to gently bend the direction of the energy, with compassionate understanding of why we act in certain ways, why we speak in certain ways, why we think in certain ways. With this compassionate understanding, we can learn how to bend unwise energies into wise energies. With the different techniques that you can learn here, you can create new beneficial conditioning for your future. You are who you are due to the past, but it is in the present moment, and learning how to be wiser with your reactions in the present moment, that you create new conditioning for your future. With these techniques, you can learn how to accept yourself and how to accept others. You can learn how to forgive yourself and how to forgive others. You can learn how to have compassion, loving kindness towards yourself and towards others. You can learn about your conditioning that is beneficial, and you can learn about your conditioning that is unbeneficial. And as you learn these things, you can then apply remedies and solutions to any difficulty that you encounter. This is basic. If you do wish to change or improve yourself in any way, you must first start to understand yourself. As I said before, much of the practice is very similar to things that we do in normal life. Let's take another example of a doctor who wants to perform heart surgery. Much time, much work, much effort goes in before that person ever does the surgery. Normal education, then university, then medical school, and so on. Much time, much practice before the person does the work. Meditation, mental development is much the same. Only here we study the mind and the heart, trying to understand it, understand which parts are beneficial, which parts are unbeneficial, and then working with who we are. trying to work with who we are, not against who we are. Many people experience problems in their practice by trying to accomplish something which is basically beyond their limits, often having some ideal about themselves or about their capabilities. There is often a big difference between who we are and who we think we should be. This is a difference between reality and idealism. The reality of a situation objectively sees who and what we are and starts with that. Too often, many people start with who and what they think they are or think they should be, having an ideal about themselves or about their capabilities. This way of thinking can cause a lot of problems, frustration, grief, pain, despair, sorrow. When we think we should be a certain way, but in reality we're not, a lot of difficulties can arise. Often in our life, we have been told, you should do this, you should not do that. But we have not always been told how to do this, how not to do that. This difficulty of thinking we should be a certain way, but in reality we are not, this is a common problem for many meditators. We prefer as much as possible not to use the word should, but instead we'll try to say, try to do this, try not to do that, and we will try to show you how to do this and how not to do that. Problems and difficulties can be lessened if we start with who and what we are, learn some methods and techniques on how to do things, and then apply these methods and techniques to our life. So Rosemary and I will be spending quite a bit of time and quite a bit of effort in explaining some wonderful methods for each one of you. And we hope that each one of you will spend quite a bit of time and quite a bit of effort in learning these techniques for yourself. What I've basically talked about here is a general outline of much of the overall practice. We intend to talk about most of this in much more detail as the retreat progresses. We hope that you will find these days very rewarding and very helpful, not only while you're here, but very rewarding and very helpful for the rest of your life. Formal sitting meditation, how and what to do. Within the formal sitting meditation, we'll be using what is commonly referred to as a primary object of concentration. Primary object of concentration, which we will begin with tonight, will be our breathing, just to be aware of our breathing. This is a very good object for meditation purposes for a number of different reasons. One is that the breath is with us everywhere we go. It was with us after we were born. It'll be right there until we die. It's not something we have to buy, build, carry along special. It's just always there. This makes it a good object for meditation purposes. The second reason is that for most people, the breath is a very neutral object. That is, we don't like it a lot. We don't hate it a lot. It just is what it is. And it's very neutral in that way. Even better than these two reasons is the fact that the breath is often a link between thoughts and emotions in the mind and physical reactions in the body. Various changes in our breathing, whether it's long, short, rough, or smooth, can often indicate various changes in our thoughts and emotions. Later in the retreat, we intend to talk about other areas of the body that can be used in similar ways. A clear example for most, if not all of you, is if a person gets very angry. The whole body tightens up. The heart will beat fast. The breath becomes rougher and shallow. These are physical reactions coming from the thoughts and the emotions in the mind. So by becoming more aware of various changes in the breathing, this can also help us to understand more about changes in our mind. The practice in the beginning is just sit and observe your breathing. Sounds simple. It's not so simple to do, especially for those of you who have done it before. Our minds are not used to sitting and trying to be aware of something as simple as the breathing. Our minds are used to thinking. So we may sit down, start to become aware of the breathing, and within some period of time, off goes the mind. Think about the future, think about the past, here, there, everywhere. And we may get lost in a mind spin for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe even more. As soon as you become aware that your mind is off thinking, the part of the practice to do at that time is simply to recognize that the mind is off and then gently return back to the awareness of the breathing. If you've never done this practice before, often in the early stages, it's quite alarming to see how often the mind will go off thinking. And some people will get so agitated, so upset, they may think to themselves, oh, I cannot stay concentrated on the breathing, not even for 2 seconds. Well, actually, if you cannot concentrate on the breathing for 2 seconds and you know it, then that is a moment of mindfulness. And the mindfulness side of the practice will actually develop at those times. So to be mindful when you cannot concentrate is also an important part of the practice. To be aware of the breathing, we try to focus on a physical sensation. And there's 2 main areas of the body which you could choose one of them to try to be aware of a physical sensation as you breathe in and breathe out. One area is the nose area. As we breathe in and out, we might feel a sensation inside the nose. Some people feel a sensation right on the outer edge. And an odd few people feel a sensation on the upper lip. As the wind moves in, the wind moves out. Air coming in, air coming out. A second area of the body to choose from is your stomach chest area. As we breathe in and out, there is an expansion and a contraction, or we could simply refer to it as a rising, falling motion in the stomach and or chest as we breathe in and breathe out. So you can choose one of these 2 areas, focus your attention on it as you're trying to be aware of the breathing. For those of you who are new at this, you might like to experiment which of these 2 areas do you feel more comfortable with. That's quite okay in the first couple of days. Experiment, see which one you like. When I say experiment, though, it's very helpful. Don't change during the one period. In other words, if you start a period at your nose, stay there for that whole session. Wait until the next sitting period to try the stomach chest area. Because if you change back and forth, back and forth, back and forth too many times, this will just kind of slow down your ability to get concentrated and mindful. And then after about 2 days at the most, just choose the one you feel best with and stay with that for the rest of the retreat. The physical sensation is what we would like to be aware of, but this is difficult. So we have a helpful technique that can aid you to develop your concentration and mindfulness. This is called mental noting. And that is to make a soft little thought in the mind, a little mental note, concerned with the physical processes going on. So for example, if you're trying to be aware of your stomach chest area, you might use the mental notes rising, falling, as that movement happens. If you're trying to be aware at the nose area, you might note to yourself in, out, as the air comes in, as the air goes out. Or any other 2 words which describe part of the physical processes going on. With this mental noting technique, we want to use it to help develop our awareness of the sensation of the breathing. We want to use it to help us get the mind closer to the actual experience. We do not want the mental noting to overpower the experience. So we want to make it light, not too heavy. To give you an example of what I mean when I say making the mental noting light, imagine a flower, imagine a butterfly coming and landing on the flower. It really does not disturb that flower much, if at all. Now imagine the flower again, and imagine an elephant coming and landing on the flower. Try to make the mental noting light, like the butterfly. So we sit down, we try to be aware of the breathing, we use the mental noting, such as rising, falling, or in, out. And within some period of time, the mind's going to go off. As soon as you see that your mind is off wandering, we encourage you to use the mental noting also at that time to note the reality of that moment. Wandering. Or thinking. That is the reality that is happening for you at that moment. Note the reality, but then come back and start again on the breathing. Perhaps you will get distracted in other ways. Maybe the truck has to come up the hill, and you get distracted listening to the sound. Note to yourself, hearing. That is the reality that is happening for you at that moment. Note it. Hearing. Then return back to the awareness of the breathing. Maybe you get distracted by an odor. Note smelling. Then return back to the awareness of the breathing. Or any other types of distraction that you experience, make a mental note of the reality of that moment, what is happening to you, then return back to the awareness of the breathing. This is a continual effort of starting again. And now I'd like to show you some of the ways to sit in formal meditation. If you can't see my legs good enough, feel free to stand up. Just move aside to the wall to not block other people's views. One way to sit is just the legs are parallel in front. Just laying parallel in front of you. Then there's crossing the ankles, the feet underneath, the knees rather high in the air. Then there's taking the toes of one foot and sticking them in between the thigh and the calf of the other leg. Then there's bringing one foot up on top of the other thigh, which is called the half lotus posture. Then for some people who are flexible enough, there is bringing both feet up on top of the other thighs. That's called the full lotus. Please don't worry if you can't do this one. Most of the Thai people, they can't do it either. There might be a small number if you're that flexible. Then they're sitting like this with one foot around the side and back, the other leg still in front. I personally never use this posture for meditating because I cannot keep my back straight. If you can tell, my hip does not go down to the table here. I'm a bit crooked. If you can keep your back straight, if your hips are flexible enough, keep your back straight, then this posture is quite okay. Then there's also sitting with both feet around like my right foot is. But if I tried to show you that, I would break both my knees and hips. There might be some of you flexible enough for that. Then they're sitting on little benches. We have quite a lot of benches on both sides of the hall in the back. If you've never done a retreat such as this or one as long as this, Then it's often helpful to use a bench sometimes. It helps alleviate lower back pain, which you're going to probably experience during the retreat. Some people use a bench all the time. That's fine too. Alternating it is quite okay. Those are the main formal postures to use. If you have difficulties using those, please talk to us about in the interviews. There are a few other ways that we can show people. We also have some higher stools in the back of the hall, but please don't use those unless you have permission. We don't have very many, and they are for people who have much more pain on the floor than most of you will ever experience, probably. So please don't use the high stools unless you have permission first. But we don't worry about stools. If you're at home, you can use a chair as well. What you're doing with your mind and your heart will be much more important than what you do with your body. We also do not encourage what is called pushing pain. So whenever you get too uncomfortable in the posture, it's quite okay. Relax the back, put one leg out, put out two, bring the legs up like this for a few minutes, relax, take a break whenever you need to, switch to the stool, switch back and forth as you need to, then after a few minutes, start again. If you do change your posture during the sitting, try to do it quietly, try to do it gently. Also try to be mindful of your movements as you're changing your leg and your hands go this way or that way. Try to be mindful and aware of that. But feel free to change as often as you need. Later in the retreat, we do intend to talk to you more about how you can sit still for longer periods of time. With the posture, we would like to keep a straight back, but not tight. To give you an example of what I mean by tight, this is tight. Straight, but not tight. The hands, we don't worry too much about that here. They can be on your knees, they can be in your lap, they can be up, they can be down, but not to create anything special with your hands and your fingers, having them relaxed. The head, the neck, slightly tilted forward, not much. Maybe 1 centimeter, half an inch. If you drop your head down too far, this will create neck pain that you're going to experience, pain in your neck and shoulder area. If you try to keep your head up too high, this also creates pain in your neck and shoulder area. So the head tilted forward just slightly, not much. The eyes closed gently, not tight. However, if you do get sleepy, one of the methods that we intend to explain further later in the retreat is to open your eyes, look in front of you, 1.5 meters, 4 or 5 feet. Help yourself wake up. But otherwise, the eyes are closed gently, not tight. The mouth is closed gently, not tight, and we use the nose to breathe through, unless, of course, you have a cold and you need to breathe through your mouth. Otherwise, the mouth is closed gently, not tight. The tongue is also something to be aware of, because many meditators find that if they touch the tip of their tongue to the top of the mouth or the back of the top teeth, then that's the most comfortable place for the tongue to be. When you first begin doing a sitting, it can be very helpful to check over your body, make sure that it's relaxed as can be. And if you're sitting cross-legged, it helps in the beginning to lean forward a bit, raise your bum up a little, arch your back, come back in the posture, and then relax in. What this does is it slightly shifts the bum back 2 or 3 millimeters, which gives more support for the lower back muscles. So I'll explain that again. Lean forward, raising your bum up a little, arching your back, coming back in the posture, then relaxing it. Sometimes as well, a little bit of a bend here or there, or a twist helps relax our body. Then checking over the hands and the arms, trying to be relaxed, especially in the hands and the fingers. Then run your attention up to the neck, and again, sometimes a little rocking or twisting the neck can help. Then check in as forward, just slightly, eyes, mouth closed gently, tongue perhaps touching the top of the mouth, back of the top teeth. And then after you're done with checking over your body, we encourage you to take one or two deeper breaths. Now, this is the only time that we actually try to create a certain type of breath. Otherwise, we're going to try to simply observe the breath as it is. If it's long, that's fine. If it's short, that's fine. If it's rough, smooth, whatever it is, we're just going to know it for what it is and allow it to be that way. But we're not actually going to try to create any special breathing, but try to observe it for what it is. But after you've checked over your body, just one or two deeper breaths helps to let go of a little bit more tension that you might have in your body and in your mind. After those one or two deeper breaths, then just allow the breathing to be as it is. Whatever it is going to be fine, and we're just going to try to observe it for what it is. Using the mental noting, such as in, out, or rising, falling, and whenever your mind gets distracted, to make a mental note of the reality of the moment, whether it's wandering, thinking, hearing, smelling, whatever the case may be, and then gently returning back again to the awareness of the breathing. A continual effort of starting again and starting again. We're now going to do a short session of formal sitting meditation. So please settle yourself in a formal posture if you have not already done so, and I'll guide you through settling into the posture. For those of you especially sitting cross-legged, it can help to lean forward a bit, raise your bum up a little, arch your back slightly, come back into the posture, relaxing in. Trying to have a straight back, but not tight. Maybe a little twisting. Rocking can help. Then check your hands, your fingers, having them relaxed, not creating anything special in your hands and your fingers. Run your attention up to your shoulders and your neck, and maybe a little rocking or twisting on the head can help. Then the head tilted forward just slightly, not much. Eyes closed gently, not tight. Mouth closed gently, not tight. Tongue perhaps touching the top of the mouth or the back of the top teeth. Then one or two deeper breaths. Then allow the breathing just to be as it will. Whatever it is fine. We're just going to try to observe it without creating anything special. Use the mental noting, such as in, out, or rising, falling. And whenever your mind gets distracted, make a mental note of the reality of that moment. Whatever it is, whether thinking, wandering, hearing, smelling, whatever it may be. After you make mental notes of where the mind has been distracted to, then return back again to the awareness of the breathing. Continual effort, starting again and starting again. Occasionally during this session, I'm going to say a few words to help you understand the technique more clearly. If you find your mind wandering, gently realize it is wandering, and then return to the awareness of the breath, at the nose or at the stomach-chest area. The thoughts go to the past and they go to the future. After you realize that your thoughts are here or there, gently return to the awareness of the breathing, the air coming in and out, or the stomach chest area rising, falling. If sounds distract your attention, try to just note hearing, hearing, and then gently return to the awareness of the breathing. The mind is used to wandering. As you catch it, gently realize that it is wandering, and then return to the awareness of the breathing, the in-out or the rising, falling. slowly, gently relax the body, open the eyes, and come out of meditation. The retreat has now begun. Silence is now in effect. The wake-up bell tomorrow is at 4 o'clock. The first group sitting is at 4:45. Please be on time for all the scheduled activities. If you'd like to continue meditating, you're welcome. If you'd like to go to bed, good night.